Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
And should we be singing Bing Crosby's version of White Christmas?
Oh, would it help bring more snow?
I was thinking maybe.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's try it. Ready?
No.
One.
No, no,
two.
No. It's strictly in my contract. It says no singing.
Okay.
I know. That's not very bah humbug of me.
No, it's not at all. It's okay. I understand. In fact, I might have to pre-apologize because my remnants of the cold that I've been fighting for a week have given me this sudden cough spasm thing. So I could be right in the middle of a sentence and suddenly
it's okay.
Cough. So
As have I. Still, it hangs on, this one.
It was my Christmas gift from somebody.
A cold.
Yes.
Lovely.
But maybe it's good I'm getting it over with before the holidays.
I agree. I know.
Because we have lots of celebrating to do.
We do. Today we're talking about the art of celebrating.
Yeah. And I think we did this last year. We talked about all the traditional things.
Oh, yeah, we did, didn't we?
And where the art lies in Christmas celebrations. We talked about making your stockings and things like that. It was really fun.
That's true. And there is so much art in Christmas.
There sure is.
I mean, start just with decorating your house.
Yeah.
My goodness.
That's a big deal.
It is. And for some people, it's the only art project they have all year.
Yeah.
But they plan it well, and they're well supplied, and they...
And this takes real
crazy.
I know it takes real planning and color coordination. And of course you have to do an outside light display. You have to really think about balance and things that blink and things that stay solid. Mm-hmm.
And there's technical consider. It is like a big art project.
It is.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
My neighborhood is very artistic. I will say that.
Really?
Oh yes. There's so many lights and big blown up things like things that you have air in them, big Santas and candy cane walks, and it's delightful. You know?
It is.
Yeah,
it's fun to walk around a neighborhood at night when everybody's lit up like that.
Yes, and the kids get excited, but now they're on my case because they're like, "Mom, we're behind a bit. Everybody else is ready." I'm like, "We'll get there." So yeah, now I'm a laggard. I'm a Christmas laggard, apparently. But
well, you know, it used to be. I don't know about you, but we used to get our Christmas tree a couple of days before Christmas and decorate on Christmas Eve.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
you're disciplined. I would like to do that.
We don't do that anymore.
No,
that was when I was young. But I we just can't wait. We get a real tree, but so we have to kind of consider how long will this thing stay together.
How much, exactly.
And we calculate from there the nearest weekend we can manage. Mm-hmm. So we've got our tree up last weekend.
You did? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
All decorated.
Tree's not up yet. I think today.
Today is
We're
the day?
Today, yeah.
Okay. Well, we went out to Jesperson's to do the tree down thing.
Oh, yes. Aren't they lovely?
Well, they are really wonderful, but I think they were like, oh, yeah, welcome to our green pasture.
Yes.
And the mud bog that is the parking lot.
I know. There's no accounting for weather.
I know.
Yes.
I felt bad because they had it all pretty out there with their bonfire and their hot chocolate. Mm-hmm. And
they do a lovely job.
And then the sun was shining and it was green.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think, doesn't solvang mean happiness in Danish?
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's fun.
Mm-hmm. That farm's been in that family for many, many years. It used to be a strawberry farm.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, and now it's a Christmas tree farm. So,
yeah.
So, and they donated all those trees to the downtown, which is just fantastic.
Well, that whole project has been quite lovely.
Yes.
It's been a real treat. Mm-hmm. The live trees on every street corner. Mm-hmm. And lots of businesses got pretty excited about decorating their tree.
Yeah, and it looks just great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please don't walk by the gallery right now, though. Our ribbons look dreadful. Somebody tore them off, and we've been kind of just tucking them back in every couple of days, and nobody's really gone and given it some time and energy.
Some random ribbon energy going on.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure it's completely accidental.
Oh, of course.
You know, as somebody walks by it, it hooks on something, and they just walk all the way down the street. It's just like Davy's red scarf, right? It just unravels as they go.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, anyway.
I guess I did decorate a tree. I just didn't decorate one at my house.
Yeah.
Yet.
Well, see, you got into the spirit already.
Yeah.
You decorated your downtown
tree.
That's
right. I did my downtown tree. Now I need to do my canoe tree.
Yes.
Yes.
So, speaking of trees, let's go way back.
Way back.
Well, I learned some things, and I know that you learned some things, too, about
your mind
the
back.
Origins.
And yeah, because part of the art of celebrating is understanding where these rituals and traditions come from in order to be able to honor them and make the best of them, really, right? And the more we understand the better outcome, I think.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So. Because, I mean, if you don't know where the ritual came from, how can you help it evolve and make it, you know, wonderful for your family?
Yeah. Or own it or, yeah. you know, adopt it or.
Exactly.
Because yeah, sometimes we adopt rituals and we don't really know why. Yeah. And then it turns out that maybe it wasn't such a good ritual to adopt after all. But we're only speaking of happy rituals today.
Yeah. We won't talk about that poison one you brought up earlier. No.
Well, maybe later. Just for fun.
Okay.
All right.
So anyway, so Christmas trees, of course, there's 100 different stories about the first Christmas tree, but most of them are in the religious, of course, realm. About bishops and pastors and people discovering that trees look beautiful with the stars shining through them, mm-hmm. or that some of the first fir trees were, you know, symbolic of Jesus, and you know, there's all kinds of origin stories.
Sure, and the solstice too, though a lot of it is based mm-hmm. on the pagan tradition.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So who knows what's real? Mm-hmm. But what I do know mm-hmm. is that when trees first started to be brought indoors,
yes.
They were decorated with only edible things.
Oh, mm-hmm. oh.
Yeah, it was in Germany that they started to actually bring them in. Mm-hmm. And they would put mm-hmm. cookies and yes. sweets mm-hmm. and things on them, and you would just eat off the tree.
Oh, see, now there's a good idea.
I know. That would be a great ritual to maintain.
Almost like forcing the harvest. Well, it's too dark to grow apples. Well, let's just hang our own apple on here.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Exactly. And so I was thinking, well, that's kind of where some of the leftovers.
Ooh, I totally want to do that.
Yeah. Some of the leftovers of that still exist, right? Like popcorn strings.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
and then gingerbread men that you would hang on the tree. And,
yes. How's yeah. your gingerbread?
How's my personal gingerbread? Yeah.
Are you good at gingerbread?
Well, you know what? Years ago, I found a recipe in the back of a gingerbread storybook
yes.
when my kids were babies.
Yes.
And it made the best gingerbread
really?
Ever.
Oh, terrible gingerbread.
Really?
Oh. It's more like lead bread. It's terrible.
I just haven't made it in a few years. I don't know what happened. I think because I've become very famous for biscotti.
Oh, I see. Of course.
Yeah.
Yes. It's
and
true.
So that's what
yeah.
I focus on. I try to do a new one every year.
Right.
And that's my gift to all of my friends.
Yes, so be on Tracy's nice list.
Yeah.
And there might be some biscotti.
Well, that's how you know you're loved.
Yes.
When you get biscotti at Christmas.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah.
Ooh, yummy.
Someday I probably should try that again because mm-hmm. it was a good, and it used spelt flour.
Spelt.
Yeah. And okay. it gave it a especially nutty sort of texture.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. It was good.
I've never, just depends. I think it depends what you're, it's either in your DNA or it isn't.
Yeah.
Like I can make pastry.
Wow, that's a gift.
Right?
Yeah.
But I can't make gingerbread.
It's probably because you have cold hands.
I don't know what it is. Yeah. Maybe that's it. I do have cold hands.
Yes.
And so for French Canadians, there's a lot of pie involved, right?
Yeah.
There's sweet pie and there's maple sugar pie and there's apple pie and blueberry pie. And there's also savory pie. And
yeah.
there's even potato pie. Can you wow. imagine? Pie and potatoes.
Yeah.
Yum.
And tortilla.
Yeah, tortilla. That's my favorite thing to do is to make tortilla.
Really?
And yeah, I used to cheat and buy the pastry rolls already made.
Yeah.
And then I thought one day, well, I should just try this. And I just, you know, it's in you. I think you have like a recipe memory that's based on your heritage.
Aww.
But so English things, scones, German things,
not
gingerbread,
so much, hey?
Not in me. Don't, I just don't have it. But pastry. Okay, I'll make you pastry if you make me gingerbread.
Okay.
That? Okay.
Let's give
go.
It a shot. Now, I just want to backtrack a little
oh,
to
sorry,
what
I've
you said about maple sugar pie.
Yes.
Can you tell me about maple sugar pie?
Maple sugar pie. So it's tarte au sucre. It's called sugar pie. And it's basically maple sugar, brown sugar. It's like maple fudge in a pie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That sounds really lovely.
Yes, it is really lovely.
Wow.
But also extremely, it makes a butter tart look like broccoli, you know, like it's so sweet, but it's really good.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. My teeth hurt talking about
it. I know, so. Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
That is a big, it's not something you eat every day.
Yeah.
Normally,
of course.
Christmas,
and tortilla. Yeah. Like, I mean, I think that's probably 1,000 calories per slice, right?
Yes.
So pastry and meat and mm-hmm. gravy and
potatoes.
Yeah.
No vegetables.
I'm hungry already. It's very early to be hungry.
I know, right?
That kind of stuff. Okay. But then, okay. I have another little tree trivia. Okay.
Oh, great.
Okay. Which is, yeah, I mean, actually in the edible thing evolved and people started making ornaments to look like the edible thing.
Okay.
That was a, so.
Oh, so did Christmas balls, what do you think they were? Maybe apples?
Apples. Mm-hmm. And stained glass even was made to look like candy.
Mm.
Yeah. So you get stained glass ornaments.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, yeah. So there was like all kinds of things that, and of course the gingerbread evolved into just, you know, wooden little gingerbread men and little, stuff.
Yeah.
Things that the mice wouldn't come at night and eat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they'd have a heyday at my house.
Yeah. And there's all kinds of stories about how tinsel was developed and all. I mean, it's just crazy. And then of course people used to put candles on the tree. But there was horrendous fires that destroyed large homes and hospitals and
safety first.
So it was all the way back in 1895 mm-hmm. that Ralph Morris invented the first electric Christmas lights.
Well, thank you, Ralph.
I know. Like, yeah, it was serious safety issues we're talking.
And that's right. And so traditions do evolve, thankfully.
Thanks to that, because it was really serious.
And like, now the lights are solar and they don't even need to be plugged in. Yeah. You just have to stare at the sun.
Yeah. As long as you get a little sun.
Yeah.
That's the key about downtown, right? The gallery shades one of its trees.
Okay.
And the other tree gets sun. And so of the two trees at night, one of them's like, and the other one's
look
like,
at me. Oh.
It's okay.
So sad.
It's still
one
cool.
is the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Yeah. So tell me about the tree at your house full of artists. Is it very beautiful and planned and organized?
Well, you know, it used to be really beautiful, planned and organized. In fact, my artist husband and I were just talking to the kids about what the tree was like before the kids came along, because people used to come to our house just to see our tree.
Oh, it would have been a work of art. Oh, no doubt about it.
It was pretty spectacular. Yeah. Like I used to dry orange slices and cinnamon sticks and, you know, like I did everything. It was just crazy, amazing.
Wow.
Raffia and all that. Anyway, because I had like an all nature tree.
Oh, wonderful.
1 year. Anyway, but then I told the kids, and then when you guys came along, of course, the tree became decorated from about the 2 foot level down.
Yes.
Right? Because we would just let them do all the decorating.
Pipe cleaners.
And all the craziness that comes from the mm-hmm. crafts and the big mm-hmm. gigantic ornaments that don't look like artist ornaments yet.
No.
But they are full of love. Yes. And you want to have them on there.
They sure are.
And so slowly as they've grown, those ornaments have moved up the tree.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and wow. Yeah, of course they have.
Yeah. And now they're, well, now, of course, my one daughter's the same height as me.
Yeah.
So now the tree is just covered in all the ornaments that have stories.
Yes, it's true. It's a storytelling.
It is. Mm-hmm. And every ornament I pull out of the box, I'm like, oh, this is the one Auntie Shirley gave us after Nana passed away.
Aww,
Nana.
Nice.
So everything's got a thing. And they made fun of me this year, actually, about being my brain being an entire section being just for storage of ornament stories.
Maybe we file that under Christmas ornament story archiving.
Yeah.
Oh, no, our brains are full of many, many weird and wonderful facts. Yeah. I have an ornament made, my mom made me with the fabric from a dress that my grandma used to wear.
Oh, that's amazing.
Lovely. And it reminds me of her.
Yeah. And so every year you pull it out
and
that makes you feel warm and fuzzy.
It's true.
It's so important to keep those.
Things when the boys were little and their first little pair of running shoes. And they're like, we used to fit in those. I know.
Yeah.
They couldn't even fit on their ear right now. Yeah. Growing so quickly. It's ridiculous.
It is.
Yeah.
I know, but I don't know. That's why those things are more special. Right?
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
So lovely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So
we're
the real tree. Yeah, we are. And the tree thing came over to North America because of the British royals.
Oh.
They had a beautiful tree, and then there was a little publication about, this is what the Queen's tree looks like.
Lovely.
And it went global, right? Everybody's like, I want a Christmas tree. So that was like the mid 1800s or so. And so
those
then it kind of.
Royals have such influence on us, don't they?
I know. All right, so let's talk about something else about
other
celebrations.
Other traditions. So like candy canes, what's that all about?
Oh, yeah, well, you know about candy canes.
Yeah, so we found the mother load of all the Christmas trivia you never thought you needed to know on a website on the internet. And so I looked up candy canes. Well, it turns out another German invention, it was to keep the children quiet during the Christmas concerts.
And give them sugar to suck on.
Yes. And then because they wanted to make it more festive, they added a little bit of red, and so it was peppermint and mm-hmm. so yummy and sugary. And then because they wanted to make it sort of relate to what was happening, they made the hook on it so that it would be reminiscent of a shepherd's hook.
Wow.
Right? Because it's about the shepherd and and the sheep.
Yeah. Right. So, okay, let me get this straight. They're giving kids a stick of solid sugar to keep them quiet and still during service.
That's right.
I find that interesting.
Yes.
Strategy.
Well, my mom used to give me gum at church to keep me quiet. Or if I was behaved, I would get gum.
Yes.
Well, it has always been thus.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, they didn't know, of course, that sugar makes
they didn't.
Twitchy.
No, but if it got you through, you know, a couple of, a little bit of the Messiah or whatever you were happened to be being dragged to by your parents, then oh well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do love a good Christmas candy cane, though.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Mm.
I don't know why.
I don't know why, but I've never been fond of those things.
No, you're not pro-Christmas.
I'm not pro-Christmas or candy cane.
So what is your Christmas go-to treat then?
Well, I don't know.
What?
I guess, you know what? Chocolate's just my thing,
okay,
right? So if you're gonna do a chocolate, you know, you can do a chocolate at any time of year.
Yes.
But all the Christmas traditions, if you add chocolate, then it's just better.
Just much, so much better.
Yeah. So I don't really have a thing that I wait for.
And I wonder, I think the thing about sugar and chocolate and oranges and all those lovely spices is because Christmas was a time to celebrate sort of to do away with scarcity, if only for a minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a moment or a day.
Yeah.
So you would get a Christmas orange, which was unheard of. I mean, now buy Christmas oranges practically all year round.
Yeah.
But at the time,
not that long ago, it was like when I was a kid, they were only available at Christmas. So that's not very long that all of a sudden it's been year round.
And certainly in war times, they would have been very hard to get.
Yeah. And that was one of the oldest traditions, is the orange in the stocking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
the original Saint Nicholas, that's how he distributed sweets and things.
Oh.
Secretly, he would, because children would hang their socks by the fire to dry.
Yes.
Overnight. And he would put candies and an orange in the socks.
Such a nice guy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that was the origin of the stocking.
But the same thing with chocolate and sweets and cinnamon and clove. You know, again, cinnamon, clove, we just go to the grocery store and pick it up. But
yeah.
I mean, those are the hard things. They come from a long, long,
I know,
Far, far away place.
Yeah.
Right?
Before there were airplanes.
Yes.
It would have been pretty rare
That they're available, but they really are quite scarce. Mm-hmm. So enjoy those little wee tiny.
Yeah.
The ginger, the cloves,
that smell.
The chocolate.
Yeah.
Mm,
okay.
Yeah.
So speaking of chocolate, one of the things that people remember about chocolate is the advent calendars of old, when you used to buy a little tiny cardboard thing.
Yeah, the advent calendars kind of gone a little...
they're insane.
Explosive.
If my mother is listening to this show, she'll know. She is like the worst person for allowing the advent calendar to explode.
Okay.
She's a quilter, so she built my kids these big quilted advent calendars with big pockets in them.
Wow.
I know, and the pockets hold a little gift for every day.
Fantastic.
Oh my gosh. It's like she's royalty going out and spending money on all these little
24
gifts for each of my children.
Coin on your advent calendar.
Oh, yes.
And so what was it? So advent, I know, like in the Catholic faith, it's you're preparing your heart for Christmas.
Oh.
Right? So, but usually doesn't involve chocolate. It just involves
countdown
to the day. And
it is. It was because Advent starts 4 Sundays before Christmas, and it's and it means the coming in Latin.
Wait.
So it is a preparation. And some people fast for periods of time during the Advent.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, some factions or whatever, don't eat meat or fish or during all of Advent. So it's all about the preparation for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where the heck we started with this outrageous gift giving for every day of
the
Advent.
I'm sure there's a reason.
I'm sure there is.
Yes.
But what I think is really funny is the beer Advent calendar.
Isn't it? It's so great. I don't know if listeners know, but you can buy a beer Advent calendar.
Yes. We bought one for my husband.
You did?
And it's his first Advent calendar he's ever had.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He loves it.
Well, as far as advent calendars go, sign me up for that one.
I know,
I don't really like the little chocolates in the advent.
No,
the,
they're kind of junky. But
kind of
okay,
waxy,
so
but.
So I have to tell this funny story.
Okay,
so it's called the snow case.
Okay,
and we every morning he opens one up and, you know, it's like, yay, oh, it's a Baba. And he reads the label. And some of them are actually made especially for the Advent calendar. Wow. You can't even get them. And he puts it in the fridge and then he has it that night.
Yes.
So the one that was on Saturday was called Black Jackal.
Ooh.
And it was a coffee stout.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was so delicious.
Yum.
And so, of course, on Monday, yeah. I go to the liquor store because it said on their website that it would be available at BC liquor stores. So yes. I go to the BC liquor store thinking, oh, this will be a good little, you know,
present.
Yeah. Is to get this really special coffee stout.
Yeah.
So I go there and the guy is like, oh yeah, that Black Jackal, that was awesome. And I'd like to try to find it too. And so he gets on, he's like, oh no, it's only available on the island. And I'll just keep checking. I'll see. And so I bought a couple of other things and I went to the till and I talked to the guy that I originally asked, okay, who do I talk to about this? And he says, so did you get what you need? And I said, yeah, well, he's going to look into getting Black Jackal. He goes, oh yeah, that was Saturday. That was so good.
Saturday.
Eh? Yeah. And then,
there should be a Facebook group.
I know. And then the girl, the other till girl, she's like, oh, what was that? Something about the snow case? And he said, yeah, she was looking for Black Jackal. And she goes, oh, that was Saturday. Yeah, that was so good. So like there's this whole community of people that know
great.
What happened on what day.
That's and, right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So I know. Funny. So inventive. There's a wine one too.
Really?
If you're more of a wine.
Oh,
yeah.
It's so fun.
It's like those little airport bottles of wine.
You know, that is
airline bottles of wine.
It is sweet because maybe for some people it's their very first one.
Yes.
First time that you can count down to Christmas.
I know. I don't remember having them necessarily, but I really enjoyed the boys' experience with them. Like in our house, the biggest one was the Lego Advent calendar.
You had a Lego Advent calendar. Oh,
fantastic.
So what was that? You got
one piece. So it was a Christmas scene and 24 little boxes, and you tear open the box and you get a little bag with about 8 pieces of Lego, and on the inside of the door it shows you what that you can make with it. It made getting to school a bit challenging because
yeah.
every day it'd be like, no, I have to make Santa's sled, right? And then you'd wait for like the big 24th, which is usually like a giant Christmas tree.
Oh.
Pretty cool. But then they kind of branched out. Now they have Star Wars Advent Lego.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Crazy.
Yoda with the Christmas hat. Like, seriously, it's over the top. But very fun. There's also Playmobil Advent calendars. Everybody's getting into the Advent calendar scene. And it is quite exciting.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
Because
I tried to make one last year, but because I was tried to simplify my life a little bit, but it wasn't nearly as.
No. Well, I tell you.
It's exciting. But you could, all you need is like paper bag and a couple little treats from the candy store and off you go.
Yeah, it's true. You can make it very simple.
Yes.
Some people, you know, my mother excluded, mm-hmm. can make it simple. But no, it's gotten big to mm-hmm. the point where she has a little bag that's attached to the Advent calendar. And sometimes the little day says, pick a bag.
Oh.
And then, so you should go into the big bag and they pick a bag out of the big bag.
Wow.
I mean, it's gotten a bit crazy.
Yes.
But, you know, my kids are teenagers.
I know.
And every morning they're like, vroom, vroom, to the Advent calendar.
Off they go.
They and just I mean, are not growing
really
out of it.
It's really about the anticipation.
It is.
Right? I love the anticipation. I have to say, come Christmas Day, I'm sort of like, oh, well. That was fun. I almost prefer Christmas Eve to Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the special feeling, right?
Yes.
It's like you're not there yet, but everything's quiet mm-hmm. and twinkly and mm-hmm. colorful, and you're having this time as a family.
Yeah.
And it's all good. And then once Christmas Day comes, it's like, okay, let's eat.
Everything's
gotta make,
open.
Make the big meal.
Yeah.
Yeah, then it's over.
Yeah. And then it's all clean up.
Oh.
But I do like that in between. Actually, the 12 days of Christmas technically start Christmas Day.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Because it took them, okay, so going back to the biblical or the religious story mm-hmm. Is it took the kings 12 days to get to the baby Jesus. So they left on Christmas Day and then they went for 12 days. So they don't actually get there until the 6th, which is why the 6th
is
the epiphany. Yeah. They're like, ta-da, we saw the Lord baby Jesus, right? Yeah. So I will often keep my tree up till the 6th.
Oh, that's nice.
Because that's what we would do in, you know, in our French Canadian tradition.
Oh.
So you don't really, again, you wouldn't decorate till the 24th.
Yeah.
And then for 12 days, you just eat and visit, right? And eat and visit and eat and visit.
Yeah. Well, and I think I was kind of thinking about that this morning as I was coming in. Like, what's different about this year? What's mm-hmm. different about these last few years mm-hmm. for people? Because we've had such technological, replacements.
Yeah, and
for
how
a lot
are
of
we?
Traditions.
Yeah, because a tradition is a tradition because why? Everybody does it, but everybody does it differently.
Yeah.
Right? But, and we sort of adopt them as we go.
Yeah. But we really do have to keep the face-to-face traditions. Mm-hmm. And that's the part, like you just said, the food and the visiting and the eating.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be the thing that keeps us.
Well, I'll tell you for free, that's the thing in my house. There's a lot of eating involved. Lots and lots of eating.
I know, but don't you find like some people are like, okay, let's rent a pile of movies and we'll, they just kind of tend to go inward. I guess mm-hmm. maybe it's easy because it's cold out.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to just stay.
And people are tired too.
Yeah. Right? And they want a holiday from work and school.
Yeah.
And so they just want to chill.
Chill.
But
if it's important to you.
Yeah. Well, but you can still do it. You just have to make that tiny bit of effort mm-hmm. to phone up your friends and say, what are you doing tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get together and make gingerbread.
Exactly.
And maybe it doesn't have to be a lot of work. Nobody has to make a whole meal or
anything. No.
Just find the opportunities to be together.
Exactly.
Yeah. Keep those ones. Keep That's those right. traditions.
Yeah. And their tradition is what you make of it.
Yeah.
Right? Like I know when I first moved west, so I live in a half English, half French family. So sometimes we'd have French Christmas, sometimes we'd have English Christmas. So I would get New Year's Eve, but I'd also get Christmas Day. So score, I got two. But English people do it differently than French people. And then when I moved out here, there are all these other things I didn't know, like Christmas crackers. What is that about?
Oh, yeah. And I can tell you about Christmas crackers
after
the break.
Well, good. Please do, because at first I was like, I don't understand your ways.
Your strange and alien ways.
Your strange and alien ways. I'd never done a Christmas cracker till I moved here.
Interesting.
Yeah. Or here, west.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess the European traditions spread around the country, right?
Yeah. Like,
depending on where your descendants came
That's
from.
That's right. So maybe we have the green card already, but is there time for the Christmas cracker?
Okay. I think, is there time? Do we have time for the Christmas cracker? I'm looking. Okay, yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. Mid-1800s again.
Okay. Well, it's a busy time.
I know. This London sweet maker actually was inspired by the French bonbons.
Ooh.
The almonds wrapped in pretty paper.
Yes.
And so he actually came back to London, made a little sweet, put a little tiny riddle in it, and tried to sell them like that as a, as a special homage mm-hmm. to the beautiful French sweets. They didn't sell.
Ah.
So,
c'est dommage.
Yeah. So he decided to kind of release them at
to pump it up a bit.
Yeah, at Christmas to make it a Christmas treat.
Yes.
But as he was sitting in front of his fire, he was kind of inspired by the snapping and crackling of the fire.
Wow!
And so he decided to make it so that you had to pull the ends and make a snapping sound and to reveal the sweet.
Wow!
And holy, then they took off. Right?
Yeah.
And so he ran that company, and it grew and grew and grew. And there's all kinds of themed crackers that have grown. And his after he died, his sons took over the company. They expanded. I mean, it's pretty huge now. And even to this day, the mm-hmm. royal family gets Christmas crackers made especially for them.
Oh, by Her Majesty's loyal.
Yeah.
I see. Lovely. Yeah.
And there's millionaire crackers where you pull the thing and it goes pop and like diamonds fall out.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, you can get these things made in any theme that you ever desired.
Wow. Yeah. And you can also make your own. I've seen that too.
Yeah.
So and mine won't have diamonds.
No, mine won't have diamonds. We have paper hats. Okay.
Well, who works the hardest on Christmas Eve?
Well, Santa.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
The things that happen on that evening.
That's right.
When you're sitting around looking at the fake fire.
Well, we always read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah. I love that story.
That's a great tradition.
So much.
Yeah.
What else do we do? Well, for us, that's the day is Christmas Eve is really Christmas.
Oh, okay. So you open presents and everything?
Some presents, yeah. So I sort of, it's a meld of two traditions coming together, but mm-hmm. Christmas Eve day, I cook all day. I make meat pie. I make ragu. I do the whole typical French Canadian thing. I always go see Al and get some proper French bread and all that at Blue Canoe, and so that's my little routine. And then at 4 o'clock, the table's set, And anyone's welcome to come over. So it's not like a dinner, sit down dinner. It's just to come and grab some food.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And then before bed, we, I love, love, love to watch It's a Wonderful Life. And I always cry. It's ridiculous. I love okay. that That's... George Bailey guy. He's yeah. my hero. And, yeah. Then there's usually a little present, maybe a pair of pajamas and a book or something.
Oh, yeah. Right? Jammies on Christmas Eve.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Aww.
And then it's off to bed. It's the easiest night of the year to get the boys to go to bed. Yeah. Go to bed. Okay. 5:30. Mom, I'm really tired.
But then they're up at 4 a.m.
Yes, they're up at 4 a.m. And it's over by 20 after, right? But yeah, so that's kind of what we
do. You leave anything out for Santa?
Yes, we do. Santa usually gets some eggnog.
Oh.
Yeah. And some cookies.
Yeah.
And then, of course, something for the reindeer.
Of course.
How about you guys?
A carrot? Do they get a carrot?
Well, whatever just happens to be available.
Yeah. Whatever healthy vegetable. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, it's been a milk and cookies tradition for a lot of years. I just want to point out
yes.
that...
Does he get milk? He must get sick of milk and cookies.
Well, I would think. And so I'm sure he's happy to go over the UK. Because,
well, what do they get there?
Well, they leave out mince pies and brandy.
Wow.
I know.
Yum.
I'm thinking I heard the woo come yeah. from the other room there. So, yeah, the brandy probably gets him through the night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, maybe some countries leave him salad, and so he gets a full, right?
Yeah.
Soup, salad,
yeah,
mincemeat pie.
Yeah. What the heck?
That's right. A complete meal.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because we have to keep him healthy. That pretty much has to do him all year.
All year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because all he eats is snow otherwise.
Oh, is that right? And sleeps it off. Who knows? He probably goes to Florida.
Yeah. Anyway, that's yeah, the Christmas Eve thing is just a really nice, I don't mm-hmm. know why it feels so magical to just sit and look at the tree
mm-hmm.
and tell stories and just talk.
I think it's the solstice too, because it usually, those are the shortest days.
Of yeah. And so it's been dark since 3:30.
Yeah.
And so nighttime, the evening lasts a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the time for stories and eggnog and
yes.
eating.
And mm-hmm. rum.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after the kids go
to bed. Do you eat Christmas cake?
Well, you know, my mom makes a pretty awesome fruit cake.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as far as that, yeah.
And there's been some advancements in the fruit cake.
Has there?
There has. People have figured out that you don't have to use that same icky candied fruit.
So technological advancement in fruit cake making?
Well, I think so, because I've tasted other people's fruit cake that's pretty magical too. And it's like currants and raisins and nuts, and it doesn't have to be, you know, the red and green ugh. Stuff and the yellow ones. And,
yeah.
Ugh.
Spumante ice cream stuff.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It was the same. Did you know that really there's been the same 12 fruit cakes that pretty much have been around since, you know, time began, and they keep getting re-gifted and sent to
there's only
new
12?
Households. Yeah.
Oh, well, no. That would explain a few things.
Yeah. But you see, then you've got a whole community of people in Salmon Arm that have a European tradition behind them, and they make Stollen.
Yes, I've seen that.
And that's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So
the
that's
woman who
excellent.
Owned the coffee shop before Fitzy's.
Yeah.
It was a German baker. She made lovely stuff.
Well, Al
and
makes
I think
pretty
getting
good
in,
Stollen.
Does he? Oh, yeah. I did not know that. I yeah. only buy baguette from him.
Oh, well, this year, he calls it Christmas bread.
Oh,
he's trying to be.
Well, yeah, I should
he's French.
Out a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I got over the Christmas crackers. I think I can I yeah. can come to terms with a new tradition.
Yeah. So that's.
And it's hard to sometimes to break, like, especially when you're melding families. Like, so I have my husband's family
mm-hmm.
and my family traditions. And for the first little while, I just kind of rolled with it. I was like, okay, well, I'm here now. I'll just kind of go with what gets done here. And then after a while, I thought, you know, it's my turn.
Yeah.
So I said, you guys can do your Christmas Day turkey Brussels sprouts. Ugh. What is that?
What?
Yeah. I said, you just
Brussels
do your
sprouts
thing.
Are awesome.
I don't like, that's not a, yeah. So again, it's what you're used to. I'm like, you do your Brussels sprout thing and you're this thing and you're that thing. I said, I will take care of Christmas Eve. And now they get upset if I don't do it.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
They're like, it's Christmas Eve. Where's the tortilla? What's yeah. going on?
Yeah.
Where's get. Bring me some pickled beets. Where's my mango chutney? You know, like it all has to. So it's nice how it's all kind of merged.
Yeah.
Together.
That is really nice.
Yeah, yeah. But there's been a lot of twists on tradition.
Well, yeah. I was just thinking about like when you're sitting around on Christmas Eve looking at your tree. Last year, we did the tree tweet because on Q on CBC, they were asking people from all over the place, anybody who was listening, to tweet a picture. Treat. To tweet a picture of their tree and then say in the tweet where they are living, yeah, where they are.
Right? So it's like this community celebration.
It was. Mm-hmm. And you got to see trees from all over the place, like mm-hmm. people from all over North America, a few from the UK. It was just really quite lovely. And and I posted a tree of my, or a tweet, a photo of my parents' tree, which they had rescued from a development site.
Oh, lovely.
That was going to be cleared, aww, you know, in the rescue months following. So it was kind of a crazy octopus tree, yes, but I thought that was fun to tweet that.
Nice.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think I remember seeing ones from Kentucky and Florida and
isn't that nice? Yeah,
and that's Manitoba, great, and New Brunswick.
Those are great. So yeah, the online. There's so many traditions. Well, yeah, a lot of people do all their shopping online.
Yeah,
a lot of people probably Skype with Santa online.
Yeah,
right. I know we do a lot of Skyping.
Yeah,
and we used to send Christmas cards. Now we just do a Facebook greeting.
I know, it's weird. I actually did send still like paper cards this year. Nice. Because I think that's important.
It is important.
But I know that lots of people just, they come up with or else that jib jab thing.
Jib jab.
Yeah.
Oh, I love jib jab.
You put your picture on an elf, pick your face mm-hmm. on an elf, and there's a dance song video thing.
You can do a video card.
Yeah. And then you send that fun to all your contacts, and then they get to see your face dancing around shaking your booty.
Lovely.
As an elf.
That's right.
Which is kind of weird, but well, still fun.
Why not?
Yeah.
It's got to have fun.
Yeah.
But my favorite twist on tradition is the Shaw Firelog channel. I love that channel.
Yeah.
And they love the story. Like, it was just an employee who said, well, this would be fun. And I don't know that they were that enthusiastic at first, but now it's a huge deal. The Shaw Firelog channel.
You mean some employee just said,
yeah,
I'm going to videotape.
And it's on 24 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
And now it even has a Twitter feed now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Is that the one with the guy that puts the
Yeah, the guy, I think that even might be his hand. He puts the log in. And I mean, when you think about it, it's really quite a feat.
To keep a fire going 24 hours a day.
I don't know how, but the cinematography of making it feel like you never see the loop. Like, I watch and I'm like, have we looped yet? Right? You can really.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's playful and clever. And who among us has wood fireplaces anymore?
It's true.
Very unusual.
Not as many anymore.
Right?
And it still feels nice to hear that crackling
and
popping.
Right? Yeah. So we're so connected to these kind of ancient
things.
It's
a solstice pagan sort of ritual thing,
lots
right?
of pagan stuff.
Yeah. Because the bonfire was the big, you know, the celebration that symbolized bringing the sun back.
Mm.
That's why they'd have huge bonfires at solstice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love a good campfire.
Yeah.
And I can't do it in the winter because it's too cold. So I like the Shaw.
Yeah.
Right. And you can buy DVDs. We've had the DVD at playing at the gallery.
Yeah.
And we just sit on the little couch and watch the.
It's actually strangely mesmerizing.
Yes.
You know darn well it's a TV screen.
I think it's good for your blood pressure or something.
Yeah. Maybe it is. But we have a meeting in there, like the one time we had a little coffee meeting before the gallery opened. And there was like a solid 5 minutes where we didn't even talk. We all just stood around watching the fire.
That's
it was
crazy. I know. We love. So there's a lot of twists on traditions. The other thing, and here's the Christmas orange.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
What? The engineer got a Christmas orange.
Got a Christmas orange. You must have been very good this year.
Yes.
We didn't get any. So there's this new thing. So this is more like Technolot. This is Tech Hour, how to celebrate Christmas.
Well, it is, but this is the changing traditions.
Yes, but so all the time you spend putting lights up, right? Mm-hmm. On your house, on the trees, and trees outside, trees inside.
Yeah.
There's this new thing called Bliss Lights.
Bliss Lights.
And it's one piece of equipment, and you plug it in, and you shine it on the thing, and it makes it look like it's all lit up.
Wow.
Yeah. So you can shine it on like a big tree in your yard and it makes your entire tree look like it's full of.
What? Yeah. So how does that work?
Twinkle lights. I don't know. It's the latest in, I guess we've had huge advances in
like lighting. Laser light kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it pinpoints, like it maybe makes a light finish at a certain spot.
Yes. So my friend has some in New Brunswick and she plugged them in for me, and I couldn't believe it because she has a very heavily treed yard. She plugged it in and pointed it at the trees in her yard, and they all suddenly, like, boom, all full of Christmas lights.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, and a lot less work.
And a lot less
you don't have to take
power
them out.
Usage.
Yeah.
I would think, I would hope.
Because part of the challenge with lighting up big trees is
the ladder required.
The ladder, and then if you leave them in, the limbs grow around them.
Yeah.
And it's rather a nuisance.
Yeah.
So, but this is a
Bliss lights.
Yeah, Bliss lights. Very clever solution.
Mm-hmm.
Expensive, but
well, you
so
know,
is your time.
Yeah, you know? That's right. Your time is worth something. And I'm kind of surprised that there hasn't been companies popping up that would do your Christmas lights for you.
Huh.
Because that just seems like something that, because it's gotten so huge where people have them all over their house, not just around the front door.
I know,
right? So there's rooftops.
There's netting lights now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it's still, lights. I applaud anybody who makes the effort to do outdoor decorations because it's not for their own benefit, right?
No,
it's for the neighbors.
That's right. That's right.
It's lovely.
It's my favorite scene is in the movie is Chevy Chase and Christmas Vacation. I love that movie so much, especially when he goes to plug them in. Oh, it's the best movie. I don't know. For me, Christmas is about laughing too.
Yeah.
You have to have like silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We like to watch The Snowman, you know, that little
That
no dialogue.
Yes.
Little drawn video.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
About the snowman that comes to life and takes the little boy up to the North Pole.
Is that the National Film Board?
No, it's not, but I think it was done in Britain. I seem to have a lot of UK references today. But I know it's the London Philharmonic Orchestra that does the score.
Oh.
And it's just beautiful. Like it's a stunningly beautiful piece. And that's only a little half hour thing. So it's a nice little thing for us. That's what we watch on Christmas Eve.
Nice.
And other than that, we'd like to watch The Christmas Story, but it's too long because, you know, it's a movie. So we'll watch
it. Fall asleep.
Have you seen that one? That's the Peter Billingsley one. The major award, you know, the leg lamp.
You know, I have not ever seen the whole thing.
Oh, you really must see the whole thing. I mean, that is a Christmas classic.
I know, I will. I'll commit
this. If you like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
I'll like this too.
You'll like this too. I will. And it's a beautiful.
You'll shoot your eye out. Is that
That's
that one?
Yeah, okay. You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. All right, that'd be awesome. I think my kids would like that too. They have quite a quirky sense of humor.
Yeah, and Scott Farkas.
Oh.
The bully that chases him down the alley. Oh my gosh, there's so many things that are just kind of part of our lexicon now.
So it's good to kind of, you know, break out, try something new.
Well, yeah. I'm just, as the conversation moves towards technological changes to tradition, I just thought movies kind of fit into that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Well, this is really dramatic.
Well, pretty dramatic.
It's pretty dramatic for the art and design sector.
That's true.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Speaking of earlier in the show, you were talking about how we all have Christmas trees in our house because of who?
The royal family.
The royal family. So they did it again.
What
they
did they do?
They started a new tradition. Well, maybe not a new tradition. So a wee little Bonnie Prince George had his Christmas picture released this week, and he's wearing a little jumper because that's what they call them.
Jumper.
And my jumper with little palace guards on it.
Oh.
And it was designed by Kath Kidston. What a great name for a children's designer, Kidston. Anyway, sold out overnight. Done. Can't get one. Right?
Can't get
that's
one
pretty
anywhere.
Dramatic. I mean,
that
in terms
dramatic.
Of design, art and design, I think it's exciting.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's not the first or last time that'll happen.
Yeah.
But I just thought since last Friday was National Ugly Christmas Sweater Day, and not a week later, now, you know, there's a whole new tradition of children going to be wearing, well, sweet little Christmas sweaters. But
yes, they will not be ugly Christmas sweaters. They're just Christmas sweaters.
And they weren't even that much money. I looked it up online. It was like 16 pounds.
Which is like $30 or
so. I would have, geez.
I guess so. If it made my baby look like a royal baby, I would probably spend $30.
Yeah. So it's more of a sweet, dramatic moment.
Yeah.
Probably quite dramatic for her.
Yes.
Yes.
So what are we talking here? Like a little knitted sort of
thing? Well, it's just a little palace guards. It's a little vest.
Oh, okay.
With three little palace guards.
Okay.
And they're sort of caricatures. And she's an illustrator and designer.
Oh.
And she's lovely. Things on her website. And so it's a sellout and it's all sold out in the UK and you can't get it anymore.
Wow.
But I guarantee you next year she'll probably have a whole new line.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So pretty exciting.
With more options than just the guards.
That's right.
So speaking of Christmas sweaters.
Yes.
We did celebrate the Christmas Sweater Day.
Mm-hmm.
We dropped the word ugly from our little campaign because so many people have Christmas sweaters that are quite lovely.
Well, we might think they're ugly, but they're not ugly to other people.
Yeah.
Sort of rude.
Yeah.
I thought. Oh, nice ugly sweater you're wearing today, right? So we thought it would be, I don't know, maybe just more fun to call it creative Christmas sweaters.
Yeah.
And I saw a few downtown.
Yeah.
And a few, many in the gallery.
Yes.
I went to a luncheon with the Trail Alliance and the Literacy Alliance who work next door to us.
Yeah.
And they had their Christmas gear on. So I hope next year we can make it a bit bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the whole town. And I mean, the schools, all the kids, we could have a great time.
We could.
And it doesn't have to be the traditional.
No.
Make your own.
Well, yeah, and speaking of technological advancements, you can get a Christmas sweater kit, like an ugly Christmas sweater kit.
Ooh.
Yes. I'm just not going to name the place you can get it, but it's almost like, you know how big box stores sell a Charlie Brown Christmas tree, you know? Like, it's ridiculous.
Yes, this is a contentious issue for me, because I saw that you could buy a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. And I tweeted, good grief.
Yeah.
Like, what would Charlie Brown make of this?
Yeah. I mean, the whole idea of those things, the ugly Christmas sweater, the Charlie Brown tree, is that you make do with what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go out and spend $50 to get a make do kind of thing.
Or you can probably custom order them now, too.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's how we are. We go over the top,
We're over the top with all of these sort of, it's almost like poverty porn, you know? It's like, let's make trendy what it means to be impoverished. That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
We're so silly.
Well, it is a danger of Christmas as we commercialize it so much. So the challenge is to, you know, be part of the fun, but still remember, you know, make your own gingerbread.
Yeah.
Gingerbread houses don't come from a box at the store.
Yeah. Well,
and the Grinch said it so well, right? And that the Grinch is like the oldest Christmas cartoon, isn't it? 50 years.
Yeah.
It's almost as old as me.
So how does that go again exactly?
Christmas doesn't come from a store. Yeah, a box. Doesn't come in a box. Doesn't come from a store. It has no ribbons, right?
Right.
We could Google that.
We could Google that, right, because it is Google really that. Precious.
And also Linus and Charlie Brown, you know, the Peanuts Christmas, they hit it on the head for me too. I listen to that little scene where Linus comes out on stage and explains a Christmas story. I tear up every time.
That's so sweet.
Right? I keep doing the same thing over and over again.
But, yeah.
But this year I'm going to watch the Christmas story.
Yes. That'll be your job for building a new movie tradition. Uh-huh. Well, and yeah, it won't make you cry. In fact, it's one of the lovely movies that you laugh for hours afterwards because you keep remembering parts that are so funny.
Aww.
And so charming. And it's so, I mean, if it's in a time where we grew up, right? It's kind of set in the 70s and it's just so familiar. For everybody out there who's of an age, the 50s? Now I'm getting it's the 50s. Okay, it was the 50s. What? But it seems the very
Grinch?
Familiar to
the
me.
The Grinch was the 50s, yeah.
No, A Christmas Story was set.
Oh, set in the 50s, yeah.
It seemed like it was.
Well, they have
later,
a cult-like following too, though, don't they?
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like the guy who lives in the house where they film the movie.
What?
There's that house is somewhere.
Yeah,
like Detroit or something.
Yeah,
and people drive by it all the time.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, yeah, it's a cult thing.
Oh man,
I'm trying to find
where it's still it's about the commercialization, though, isn't it? Like, we kind of have to be careful. There's things that they can be fun, and then as soon as they get that overwhelming surge of, you know, interest and spinoff and merchandise, then it's not fun anymore.
Well, you just have to be careful, right? So some people see it as a commercial opportunity.
Yeah.
Like the Christmas sweater thing. So if you go on the National Christmas Sweater Day thing, it's really at an e-commerce site where you can order but you don't have to buy into that. You can still, right?
So yeah.
It's just about finding the balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you find it?
I'm still looking.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I'm happy to, I'm really happy to participate in the Christmas Sweater Day. I'm not sure if it was your idea, but the donate $2 to your favorite charity, part was fun because that doesn't just benefit one group.
Yes.
It benefits lots of
people.
Oh
yeah. Give to your favorite. It could be the gallery. It could be the Family Resource Center. It could be the Salvation Army Food Bank. It could be Second Harvest Food Bank.
Yeah. It's just
it could
a conscious
be the
thing.
Safe Society.
Yeah, a conscious thing to throw your toonie somewhere, right? And make a difference, even if it means a little tiny difference. But if a lot of us do it, makes a big difference.
Next year, a shout out. You could raise a lot of money in very little time, and all you have to do is wear a Christmas sweater.
Yeah,
right? So
that's pretty good.
Let's see. I did find it now. Okay. It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more.
Yeah.
Right?
Nice.
That Dr. Seuss.
I know. He was brilliant.
Such a clever dude.
Yeah, he was very brilliant.
Yes, he was. And you know, he wrote those books because he found that the Dick and Jane stories were horribly boring.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you think something is horribly boring, switch it up a bit.
That's right.
Right?
And also, wasn't he given the 50 words that kids were supposed to learn in grade one or something? And the first story that he wrote, The Cat in the Hat, uses all 50 of those words.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it was, I can't remember exactly how that went, but it was like, he was frustrated with this idea of trying to incorporate all these words into one story. So he wrote this ridiculous poem that used all the words because it was crazy.
Oh, and poetry. So good.
Well, his poetry has changed. I mean, it changed the face of poetry, didn't it?
Sure
it
did.
He developed a new style of poetry.
And it helped. It helps little people learn how to read.
Yeah.
And you know what the eight most popular words in the English, or what eight most used words in the English language are?
What?
And you have the will to be of it, 9.
Huh?
And you have the will to be of it.
Huh.
Which is kind of what Christmas is about. Oh, we're getting the red card. Oh. Already the red card.
It's okay. It's the red. Okay. It's not like soccer. It's okay.
It's just going by so fast.
I know.
It's like Christmas. We blink and it's here. Are you ready? I'm not ready.
Well, you know, I was, I think I was going to try to come up with a really good response this year for when people say, are you ready for Christmas? Because it kind of makes me a little bit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I do a lot of things in preparation for Christmas for the gallery.
Yes.
Right? Lots of events happen there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus,
and are still happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus we help promote all of the Christmas events that the arts groups do in the community.
Yes.
We post everything on the website to make sure that the people know about all the theater productions, the musical concerts, you know, the choirs and everything, because it's a time when there's just a million things to do, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I kind of feel like, as soon as Christmas comes, that's like the beginning of my being able to sleep and not plan, right? Like planning is all I do for the 2 or 3 months before Christmas.
Yeah, so being ready means being done
I guess.
All your work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so ready for a lot of people means like, did you make all your mince pies?
Yeah.
Did you buy all your presents? Is your tree up, right? That's what a lot of people mean. And I kind of figure like, you know, I think that part, that kind of ready doesn't ever come.
No.
It's process.
Mm-hmm.
It's the journey, like you said. And every single day, you know, we either do something that we know we want to do because it's tradition.
Yes.
Or we invent something new because it's necessary, because it happens, because we're dealing with something or reacting to something. And so there is no ready.
No, there is no ready.
But how do I say that in a nice, friendly, clever, Christmassy, spirity way, that there is no ready?
Yeah, that's not very Christmassy.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But however,
I don't know. Anybody have any ideas out there? But what is the answer to that? Are you ready?
Yeah. I want to get a 5-word answer.
Okay.
So, but in terms of being ready to attend all of the wonderful events, I think that you can be ready just by checking our website.
That's right.
Yeah. You can look at
get ready.
www.salmonarmartcenter.ca and click on participate. And you'll see a date listing.
And don't just click on participate, actually participate.
Well, there you go.
You can get yourself. So you can be ready in spirit to accept the holidays and the spirit of Christmas. So we're always ready in a way.
I guess so.
Yeah. Even if our mince pies aren't quite done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I attended my daughter's piano recital on Sunday.
Oh, lovely.
Well, actually, this is like recital season. I actually called it recitalmas when somebody asked me if I could get together for
recitalmas.
Yeah, because that was what I did for 5 days straight. Then we had a couple days off,
recital, and now it's recitals. Recital.
Yeah, and then recital. Well, we had a recital on Sunday, and now another recital on Thursday. So it kind of feels like recitalmas.
I just
but
thought
it
of
helps.
An, okay, I just thought of an answer.
Oh, okay.
go, keep going.
I'm just saying, I it's just one of those things that helps you feel like, okay, it's Christmas. Mm-hmm. Because you're sitting there listening to little kids play Christmas music.
Yes.
I mean, it's pretty cool. So I think that people should think about maybe attending school concerts, the band concerts, mm-hmm. and things like that, even if you don't have kids in the band.
Which is today.
There's probably one today. There's definitely one on Thursday. I know that at the middle school.
See, I'm missing something out. I'm not ready because I keep hearing about this Thursday middle school band. And I said to my son, are you in it? He said, oh, I hope not. Because he hasn't. So it must be his group isn't in. But then okay. I just thought about what you want to say when someone says, are you ready?
Okay, okay.
And say yes for my long winter's nap.
Oh, yes. That's a good one.
Right? Because that's what it really is about.
And it's five words.
That's right. Gosh, for my long this winter's nap. This is why nap.
We pay you the big bucks. I'm in. I'm in. Yeah. I'm so happy.
So enjoy each other and enjoy the spirit and listen to your favorite music. Watch your favorite movies and start a new tradition. So.
Yeah. Start new things. Yeah. And make sure there's always time for face-to-face celebrating.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, the Skyping is great, but get together with your neighbors and your friends. Take every opportunity to be together.
That's right. And be merry.
Yes.
And we'll see you next time.
Actually, we're going to see you next year.
That's right. We'll see you next year. So Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, everybody from Artscape. Have a wonderful, wonderful season.
See you in 2015.